And we're live in the GSU Panther Zone right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, as always, Jeremy the Impact York. And our special guest, who is by far one of my favorite guests to have on. He is a man of the people. He is a man for the people. And, in fact, he has probably a better view than we do sometimes up in the media box. From 24/7 Sports, he is Ben Moore. How you doing, Ben?
I'm great, Jeremy. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing pretty good. That's part of the reason we're talking about that I changed the theme of the show here. For one, like I said, if you want to hear the theme song, come to the Georgia Dome this weekend, and I guarantee you'll hear it at least a handful of times, hopefully a lot more times than normal. But this is just it's one of those songs that gets you geared up, gets you pumped up, want to talk about Panther football, you know?
Hey, man, it's the Black Eyed Peas. I go way back with them. I tell people I remember and I was a fan of the Black Eyed Peas before Fergie joined the group. Saw them at the Tabernacle in 1999. So, yes, I approve of the music. Two thumbs up, sir.
They were just the bean sprouts at that point, right?
Exactly. When their album Elefunk came out, and we've probably alienated all of your audience at this point, so I apologize for that.
It's okay. I'm not showing a drop off, but then again, sometimes you can't trust the numbers on this software. And yes, that's a shout at you, Blog Talk. But until you kick me off, I will throw you under the bus. But we're going to talk about a lot more positive things. Well, we're going to try to. But obviously, you didn't get a chance to make it to Troy, but you watched along like the rest of America did on ASN and ESPN3. I think we're on ASN. I'm not sure if we were, but I know you watched on ESPN3. We're just going to start out of the gate. Obviously, we lose the game in Troy, 31-21. At times, that score was not indicative of what was happening on the field, but I actually think it was a lot closer than that. We just couldn't close in. What did you kind of see?
Yeah, I saw an opportunity lost, quite frankly. You know, it was, another week of an excellent game plan with Jesse Minter and the defensive staff, really attacking the Troy Trojans, who currently lead one of the top teams actually in the FBS ranks, but certainly the leader in the Sun Belt, averaging almost 40 points a game, 39.3, and really, really slowing them down, if not for a botched snap from a, we now found out, concussed long snapper and Seth Patrick Holman back to his to Brandon Wright, that basically was just an epic disaster of all different levels. But it would have been 14-3 at halftime. And instead, you know, of course, Troy gets the opportunity, goes ahead straight down, takes the that's what good teams do. They jump on your mistakes and, you know, put three on the board, so it's 14-6 at halftime. You felt pretty good about things. The Panthers were getting the ball back. You stall the first drive there. Troy goes straight down. You hold them to another field goal again. That was the biggest thing, you know, with Minter's defense, is just a bend but don't break. It's 14-9, and probably one of the most critical errors that I've seen out of this GSU team in 2016, not being able to recover an onside kick. And basically from there, Troy just punched the gas pedal down, ripped off several touchdowns in a row, and all the momentum and all the air of the balloon was completely gone. And you could see it, you know, certainly there on the sidelines, seeing with the coaching staff. Credit again to Neil Brown and his staff. Did have a chance to talk to Coach Trent Miles about that specific play. They had practiced for it. They had practiced specifically when Troy went into that bunch formation, that this is where they were going to kick it. They showed that on film previously. And quite frankly, this wasn't, you know, Coach Miles saying it necessarily. This was just my opinion of it. You had two or three guys in the area, and they just didn't make a play. You know, these are college kids. We're dealing with 18 to 21-year-olds. I'm sure they came off and probably got an earful from Coach Miles and their position coaches and things like that. But ultimately, you got two or three guys there around the football. You got to come up with it. And, you know, we saw, you know, if anybody's an SEC fan, there was a botched onside kick the other direction a couple weeks ago in the Georgia-South Carolina game last Sunday, where it goes right to a Georgia player and he returns it for a touchdown. So that certainly could have happened. And, you know, how much would the momentum have shifted if that would have happened? One of the up men would have taken the ball, and it's 21-9 instead of, you know, 14-9 and with Troy with the ball. So, you know, credit to Troy. They're a good team. I don't think a great team. Tweeted out shortly after the game, I don't think this is the best team in the Sun Belt. They're very good. They certainly had their opportunities to be had on Saturday, and it's just tough that Georgia State wasn't able to take advantage.
Yeah, I actually made a statement. One day I'll write a book. I don't know how entertaining it'd be, but the themes of it are just basic things you can learn. A lot of them I've learned through sports, but just things in life that you can apply. And at this game, and everybody in the booth up there absolutely agreed. It doesn't matter who has the most talent. It doesn't matter who has the better athletes, the better scheme, whatever it is on paper. If you don't have the momentum in a football game, you're not going to win.
I totally agree. And it is tangible. It's one of those things you can feel when you're there. You can feel, you know, if one team feels like it's on skates or the other one isn't. You know, it was interesting even several weeks ago watching the Wisconsin game, you know, feeling like, wow, this team is playing at home in front of a huge Big Ten crowd, and they literally have no momentum. The visiting team is coming in and has all the momentum. It's been tough to watch this offense specifically in the first half. You know, even last week with Texas State at home, you know, you get out and you're down 14-0 really before, you know, you can blink. You know, coming out here, it wasn't as quick of a start that way, but you're still continuing to get down. You're continuing to have the opportunity, and it's happened multiple times this year. Not really sure what's going on there with whether it's the play calling, whether it's guys pregame music or how they prepare basically for that, but the defense certainly has looked ready to start games. The offense nowhere close. I know Connor Manning wasn't sharp in the first half at all. I think he was either four of 11 or 5 for 11 at halftime, and was missing guys that were truly wide open. I mean, I know one real wheel route specifically to Ari Wirtz that he just threw flat out of bounds, and Ari basically probably had 20 or 25 yards of green grass right in front of him. So it's things like that, just again, a missed opportunity and to knock off the top team in the Sun Belt. And now you've got UT Martin at home, which we were just talking off air, is just a critical and unbelievable must win on the biggest of levels, because truthfully, this gets you up against the line. You lose a game like this, you're 1-6, and I just, you lose another game and you're not bowl eligible. And frankly, what the season, all the goals and all the things that you put on the board pregame in August are basically gone.
Right. Yeah, basically to kind of break this down for people that don't quite understand maybe how big this game and how crucial it really is. Okay, if you're 5-1 and you lose to UT Martin, I'm not saying that they're a bad team, but obviously they're a FCS, or I never get it straight.
Yeah, FCS team, but you know the one thing about FCS teams, they can take FBS transfers and big boy FBS transfers from Georgia, Michigan State, and Memphis, and they're immediately eligible, so they don't have to sit out. And they have several position players, both I think three or four that start on the defensive side of the ball and a few on offense, and I believe their quarterback was a guy who was either at one time on Jimbo Fisher's Florida State roster. So, you know, it's things like that where these guys can drop down. Hey, I'm third or fourth on the depth chart. It's looking like I'm not going to be there. One of the guys actually got in trouble at the University of Georgia. It was probably going to be a depth guy for the University of Georgia under Mark Richt. Well, he gets kicked off the team, and he lands at UT Martin. Well, he's an impact player for the Skyhawks for sure.
Absolutely. But basically what I was saying is if you're 5-1 and you lose to an FCS school, then people kind of go, okay, you took it for granted. You didn't realize that they were going to come to play as well. If you're, let's say, 3-3, even 2-4 to a point in that general area, you might get one of those, the famous wrestler of the Rock. You might get one of the people's eyebrows kind of raised in your direction, like, all right, that was a little curious. But when you're 1-5, you can't lose to somebody on the FCS level, no matter how good the team is. I don't care if it's North Dakota State and Carson Wentz from last year. You can't lose those kind of games, especially a homecoming game. I mean, it's, you know, like we've kind of mentioned on and off the air, it's crucial across the board for each and every person involved. Now, obviously, you can't technically fire student athletes, but you can start shaking up the coaching roster, sometimes front offices of schools. A lot of things can really get kind of thrown up in the air, and it doesn't look good having kind of a down year moving into the brand new facility.
Yeah, and it's, you know, all the momentum, and this is what's difficult to kind of quantify, statistically. I'm a stat geek. I love looking at that and analytics and things that way, but it's truly tough to quantify the opportunity lost. You know, going to a bowl game in 2015, having, you know, again, the best month in program's history, basically in the month of November, ripping off four straight wins, carrying that into a bowl game. Coming into this season, expectations were really high. You were predicted to be fourth in the conference, which would, again, be another step forward. The marketing slogan was take the next step. You know, that was, you know, definitely impactful. And, you know, credit to Woody Bass of the Signal, who basically said, is the next step backwards? And it's a right. Fair point at this point. You're halfway through the season right now, and you're 1-5. Now, as Trent Miles said, told me yesterday, hey, what was our record through seven games last year? It was 2-5. So, yes, I get that point, and where it was 2-6 through eight games, and then, of course, that run. You still have to play Arkansas State. You still have to play Georgia Southern. You know, these games are certainly not going to be easy. I do think the toughest part of this portion of the schedule is behind you. I will say that because, you know, I can't tell you from week to week what the teams are looking at around the Sun Belt. But, again, we talked about, you just can't get beat at home to an FCS team. Quite honestly, this is a team as well, and most, this happens with most FBS to FCS schools. You're paying this school to come in and be your homecoming opponent. So that means, you know, you don't want to lose to them. You know, this is, everyone wants to feel good. I know the school's done a lot of activities this week, trying to get some celebrities. I know Nick Cannon's on campus tonight, filming something for MTV in the sports arena. You have, you know, a pretty big artist in B.O.B. coming on Saturday to the tailgate area. The vibe should be very, very good outside the stadium. Now you just have to produce on the dome floor.
Wow, I'm going to have to keep my eyes out for Nick Cannon. I've always wanted to meet him and see if he actually does have some drumming chops.
But, I'll tell you, I heard that the traffic around the sports arena tonight was absolutely crazy. Talked to our old buddy Mike Holmes tonight, and he just said, yeah, the line was wrapped through the door a good 2 hours before the show was about to start.
Wow. Hey, Nick Cannon's still a draw. Maybe we can get him to do a halftime show one day or something. But, or quite possibly be on this show. But I know you got to run here in a minute. I want to hit on a couple of the positive things that we can take away from Troy. Now, I could explain kind of why some of these are as skewed as they are, but, you know, Connor Manning throws for over 300 passing yards the second week in a row. I believe he had 381, 28 for 52, only two picks. I say only two because I rewatched the App State game earlier where he had four or five. He was sacked three times that I didn't like, but 381 yards for Connor. Robert Davis was having a fantastic day, over 100 yards receiving until he got injured. And then from what Todd Boyd said, Robert looked at him and said, you need to take over and beat me. So Todd ended up with 122 receiving yards himself and pretty much a career day. I feel like up until Kyler got hurt, we had a pretty good running thing going, and then we just couldn't ever find the traction anymore. But, I mean, overall, a lot of the numbers were up. And I know Coach confirmed, and so did Kyler verbally to me, that it is a high ankle sprain. He'll be fine. Did you hear anything about Robert Davis?
It's still going to be a week-to-week thing. And I would be stunned if he plays this weekend, just because from a Sun Belt race point of view, there are bigger games on the horizon. If this team is going to really make a run, and that possibility, for all intents and purposes, certainly to fans, this game and every game is important. The coaches wouldn't tell you otherwise, but this is a game that you're going to leave guys out. I mean, Keith Rucker, I know, is already ruled out for the game. Robert, I'd be very surprised if he played. You're going to see a lot of young guys. You're going to see freshmen like Juwan Nobles. I think even a guy like Devin Gentry is going to get a whole lot more snaps. You know, caught his first career pass against Troy. You know, have a guy like Matlin Marshall could be a guy that could play. You know, they're so banged up offensively. Obviously, Kyler, as you mentioned, you know, he's a high ankle sprain, which, you know, truthfully, for anybody that's had that issue, just depending on the severity of that, I mean, that could linger basically in, you know, until December. I mean, it really could. You know, the only really thing is to rest and pray and trying to get treatment. And I know he's very aggressive at treatment. And I think the running game changes quite a bit because you really don't have a power back in Kyler's side of things. You know, you're going to be more speedy, you know, more guys that are going to be running screens and, you know, speed guys like Kendrick Dorn, Trey Barnett kind of got his first taste. And I do like what the voice Dave Cohen said. He looks like he runs. He has ants in his shoes. He literally look like his feet are on fire, and he's truly one of the fastest guys around, probably on this roster. But I would even take him in a foot race with anybody in the Sun Belt right now. So that's tough. I know Jerome Smith is banged up as well. He may not go on the defensive side of the ball. Had a hand arm issue. So Keith Rucker, Bill Technip is out. So you can't really, you're down to one basic one scholarship tight end in Ari Word. So you just kind of have to power through. This would be a great game to certainly get the defense to, pop in a couple touchdowns or a couple three and outs, maybe a special teams, situation where they can relieve the offense just a little bit. But you can't come out and start slow against the UT Martin team. They've already played two FBS opponents tough. Played Cincinnati this year, played Hawaii this year, lost both of those games, but they were close up until the very end. So it will be a battle-tested FCS team, and they're 4-3. They come into the dome with a winning record, and haven't seen a line out. I'm not a gambler, but I do follow these things. Haven't seen a line out, but I would expect the GSU would be favored only by a little bit in this game.
Let's see. I am who is the right tackle that we got that was a he's a local kid that was a great tight end that we converted. Was it Hunter Atkinson maybe?
Yeah, Hunter Atkinson started at left tackle. Yep, and he's actually played pretty well. I mean, Coach Miles was very high on him on his coach's show, saying that he's continued to play well, and I think the offensive line as a whole has played pretty well. And I agree with you. I mean,
yeah.
Connor, it's tough too. He had three sacks against Troy, but I wouldn't put all those on the offensive line. There may have been at least one in there where he may have held the ball a little too long. Just looked a little uncomfortable at points, and really, when you can't run the ball, the defense knows what's coming. Especially when you're behind, you're down 17 points in the game. They can basically pin their ears back and go after you. And getting in that situation, especially with no tight end, and Ari being more of a pass catching tight end, it's not an indictment on Ari. It's just his skill set is not one that he's going to sit in there and basically block a defensive end or outside rush linebacker. So they're going to have that opportunity. It's why, you saw several times the draw was very effective and picked up a couple first downs too. And when, had a delayed handoff to Dorn or even Barnett. And, I think you'll continue to see that as the season progresses as well.
Now, the reason I threw out Hunter Atkinson, I believe it was his parents I talked to, prior to the Troy game. Cause I went over to our side, I left the media booth and was taking a tour of the stadium and really checking out the vibe in the arena, and I ran into a lot of our people, so I started talking to them. But I mean, I actually, obviously your parents are going to say you're amazing, but I actually went back and saw some tape, I believe it was of him, and he does have incredible hands. So I know he's converted, and I know we really need him on the offensive line at times, but in a pinch when you need a tight end here, maybe there's a couple times he reports eligible and we see him go up and get a few.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I just would be very nervous about the big massive drop off of who would take his spot at left tackle. And knowing you have a right-handed quarterback, that is the most important to protect that blind side. That would make me very, very nervous. So, and probably Coach Etheridge would make his blood pressure, which is already pretty high, probably make it a little bit higher.
Absolutely. And I know before you got to go, because we got a pretty short show tonight anyway. Just real quickly, we'll kind of preview the UT Martin Skyhawks. I was kind of looking over their stats. They're kind of balanced in the way they play things. I mean, they are 4-3 right now. They are 1-2 outside their conference. They play pretty well at home, not so well away. But let's see, Troy Cook, it seemed like, was the big passer, even though I swear I saw something that maybe Gunnar Holcomb could play a little bit. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, they've rotated the guys. They haven't just stuck with one guy over the course of the season. And I think it's just been the nature of, who they've been playing, quite frankly, and just getting guys going. But, Cook's going to be the guy, I think, more than anything else. And he's kind of come on, again, went over 300 yards to his last three games he's played. And, when you can put that kind of proficiency against really anybody, whether it's an FCS or FBS opponent. Now, this will be probably the toughest defense he's faced. I mean, there's certainly – that's not a stretch to say. And I think ultimately it's getting to him early. A guy – once a quarterback gets comfortable back in the pocket and really can start slinging it around, they're not a dominant running team. So I think the Georgia State front seven, which – hopefully should be getting Julian Laurent back. He's missed the last two games, banged up a little bit, but just getting a couple guys in the rotation. And that's the biggest thing that has just been impressive. And the numbers may not show it. And, you know, I even put out a tweet earlier today about that, talking about the yards per play. You know, keeping that yards per play under five is critical. That keeps you in the ball game, and because then you have an opportunity where you're not giving up 6, 7, 8 yards a play, and teams are going right down the field. You average out about a 4.5, you know, to 4.25 at times yards per play. That's giving you an opportunity. That's you putting you in third down and getting a chance to get off the field. And that's really what this defense has done. Really, the last four games, even against the number 9 ranked. Wisconsin team. So this team shouldn't come out and just run over the Panthers. It could be a shootout if the defense doesn't play well. I do expect them to play well, as they should be getting some guys back. They certainly are not as banged up as this team is offensively right now. But this would be a game that I think the offensive staff could try some stuff too. I think you could see some stuff that you haven't seen on the roster. You know, 6 games in, there's a lot of tape on Georgia State right now, and I'm interested to see what kind of tweaks the coaches would make to the game plan and putting guys in position. And here's the other side. Because there's so many guys banged up offensively, there's going to be guys on the field that no one has tape of. You know, no one has tape of Juwan Nobles, that wide receiver. You know, who's going to step in, if Robert Davis isn't going to go? There's not a ton of tape on Ari Wirtz, and I still haven't been able to see a linebacker anywhere yet stay in front of that guy. So, you know, he could be a guy, like you mentioned before, with Todd Boyd, to have a big day, and should be fun. You know, it's a home game. You know, I've tweeted it out before. A home game doesn't mean stay at home. So it's homecoming. I am rolling solo to the dome, stopping by the PandaTalk.com tailgate. I encourage anybody that is around, come on by. We have guys that get down there at about 8 a.m. I will not be down there that early, but certainly we'll be hanging out before the game and looking forward to it.
Well, I'll obviously I'm there quite early, usually a handful of hours early, so I may try to stop by and see you guys over there. Real quickly, I know you're about to go, but they run a 3-3-5 defense, which for anybody who is football illiterate or not quite familiar with that is called a base nickel package, correct?
Correct. You have 5 defensive backs, three linemen, and it really happens. You really want that in the FCS ranks, and you see that a lot in the FCS ranks because it's a whole lot easier to find skill guys. It's a whole lot easier to find 5 defensive backs at that level than being able to go out and try to find big 300-pound defensive linemen. So naturally you think, well, we should be able to run the ball against that. Well, if you have guys who are solid tacklers and you know you have 5 offensive linemen, you have guys flying around, and really you can blitz and send guys in from multiple different angles. If that does happen, then you're not able to run, line up and run at them. So you do have to kind of dig into the playbook a little bit. Luke Heward has a very creative mind, and quite honestly, I think I could see some pretty good variations, and there will be things open against a 3-3-5 defense because they're going to want to gamble. You know, they look at Georgia State on paper and say, look, they're wounded. They're a 1-5 team, and certainly could come into the dome. And as many people on our site have even said, this is the first opportunity, maybe the last opportunity for a lot of guys on UT Martin's roster to play in an NFL stadium. They walk in there and they see the Falcons locker room and they get some revved up and, Georgia State plays every home game there. So, you know, the newness of it has obviously worn off. It's an opportunity to jump an FBS team. Certainly the coaching staff is sensitive to that and knows, this opportunity and won't have anybody taking this team lightly because, frankly, they've lost to FCS teams before, and that just can't happen on Saturday.
Absolutely. Coach Jason Simpson of the Skyhawks is going to have them battle-tested and ready to play. Ben, I appreciate you calling in and giving your insight as well. Obviously, I always try to get people that are a lot smarter than me about things in, and by far, I think you might be the valedictorian of my guests.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Always appreciate you having me on, and look forward to catching up with you Saturday at the Dome.
Absolutely. You know, as much as I go Facebook Live here lately, I haven't decided where I'm doing one this Saturday. It might be down there from the Panther Nest where you are.
It sounds good to me, man. We'll be down there. Come on down, and there'll be food and libations if you so indulge.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see you on later down the road. Tell the family I say hello, and we'll see you Saturday.
Sounds good, man. Take care.
And that was Ben Moore of 24/7 Sports. Like I said, I like to have people that know a lot more than I do, and he is on top of everything, especially on recruiting. Obviously, we'll get him more on for that a little bit later on, but he's always somebody that we always have a lot of chats on and off our various shows. Super intelligent guy. He's got an amazing family. You know, a lot of times at halftime, a good place to see me. I still throw this out there. I spent part of the day seeing if I was on TV for the Appalachian State game, because I wanted to confirm some of you guys sent in some of the pictures. If you see me at the game, if you see me in the tailgate area, if you see me on TV, take a picture of it. Send it to us at the Impact 99 at Team Impact Media. Send it to us anywhere. 3endzone@gmail.com. Let me know that you saw me. We confirm the picture. I'll send you some swag. It's that easy. Who knows what kind of swag? It could be Panther swag, some Impact Media stuff, maybe a whole package of stuff. We're not quite sure yet. We're still checking out some of you guys' entries, but I do think we have a couple winners, and we can have multiple winners. If 100 of you guys have it on there, then by all means, we'll definitely send you guys some stuff. But as we said, there's a lot we can really build on. You know, talking to Coach after the game at Troy, there's some stuff to build on. Connor Manning, 300 plus yards passing for the second week in a row. Two wide receivers in Todd Boyd and Robert Davis, who had over 100 yards receiving. The running game actually spread out to where we had almost 8,500 yards between four or five different runners. We got some speed guys. If we can't go with Kyler, we're going to go super speed. Like he said, Keith Rucker, I believe, is already confirmed out. Robert Davis may sit this one out as well. Bill Technip is still out. Jerome Smith, we'll wait and see on. But looking forward to it. UT Martin, the Skyhawks, it's a fun mascot, by the way. You look up what a Skyhawk is. It's, I imagine you should be amazed. They are an FCS team, but that doesn't mean anything. At one point, we were an FCS team. I'm pretty sure at one point, so was Appalachian State up until a handful of years ago, and they beat Michigan. So you have to watch any given Saturday, right? Any given Saturday. But I do want to tell you some of the playmakers for the Skyhawks, because obviously you know ours. Their quarterback, Troy Cook, he's a redshirt junior. He does pretty well. He has about 16 touchdowns this year, I believe, and he can scramble a little bit when he needs to. Their main running back is Jamie Bow. He's a pretty good runner. Main wide receiver is Ben Axline. That's just an incredible name. You should try pro wrestling if football doesn't quite pan out. Another wide receiver, Kalen Weathers. You got the redshirt junior safety, Khalid Higgins. You got Keith Jones, defensive tackle. I mean, these guys are ready to go. And like I said, head coach Jason Simpson, he's the longest tenured Ohio Valley Conference coach. He brings them every week. He brings them ready to play. Absolutely brings them ready to play. And I know Coach Miles is going to bring our guys, and they're going to be battle-tested and ready to go. And I'm going to call it win number two. Win number two.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?
Exactly. Win number two coming this weekend against UT Martin. And it's not because they're an FCS school. It's because we're going to roll, and like Panthers, we're going to pounce. Shout out to Pounce, by the way. I was able to spend some time with him before the, or during the pregame, and just fantastic getting to hang out. He really is one of the best mascots in sports, and I appreciate all he does. I know you guys do as well. And that's going to do it for us this week. Appreciate my guest, Ben Moore from 24/7 Sports, calling in. Shout out to Woody Bass, because we did quote him half a dozen times during this, as well as during his statement for his article. If you get a chance, at Woody Bass, Bass, on that. He's a fantastic follow, and whether he knows it or not, he will eventually end up on one of the Panthers on broadcast. Always get a lookout for me, Woody, right? But, like I said, that's going to do it. So we'll see you guys next week. We'll see you guys Saturday at the Dome. This has been GSU Panthers on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Impact Media. We will see you guys next week. Go Panthers.
let your girl admit that we the shit. F-R-E-S-H, we fresh, G-E-F, that's right, we dip. We definite, B-E-T, we reppin' it. So, turn me up, turn me up. Shut like flavor shut. Chick say she ain't down, but chick back there when we in town. She like men on drum. She wanna hit and run. Yeah, that's the scene, that's what we do, that's who we be.
B-L-A-C-K-E-Y-A-D-D to the E, then the A to the S. When we play, you shake your ass.
Shake it, shake it,
shake it, girl. Make sure you don't break it, girl.
Turn it up.
Live and direct, rocking the scene, breaking on down for the B-boys and B-girls. We're in the Judea.